God be with you, and welcome to worship at Knox United Church in Parksville, BC. And we are delighted that you are joining us today for worship. We are also very excited that next week we will actually be in person. The council has approved a motion to open up Knox for in-person worship on next Sunday morning, September the 27th. So we'll be sending out information at the beginning of this week, from Monday or Tuesday, and let you know how you can pre-register to come in because there will be limited seating. So we'll sort it all out. We have gathered here to celebrate the presence of God in our lives. We have gathered as a reminder that our values, which we hold dear at Knox, are compassion and joy and inclusion and spirituality, and we do our best to live into our mission in spite of COVID times, that we are called to build community that cares, shares, and dares. As we light the Christ candle, we are reminded that the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of compassion and wisdom and love, always resides, and we just need to be aware of it. As we light this candle, I invite you to pass the peace to those in your life with whom you need to make peace, with those who are you remembering this day, and send your love and care and peace to them as Donna plays our prelude. As we begin this time of worship, we sing together that song where we are reminded that Jesus came into this world singing love, singing faith, singing hope. Let us sing together. Let us open our hearts to God in prayer. Let us pray. Sacred source of all life, we give thanks that whatever our journey, wherever we are, you are there with us, accompanying us, guiding us, encouraging us, strengthening us. Through all of life's adversities and challenges and difficulties, you are there. We give thanks for your abiding presence, and we ask for your presence now as we gather together in our own homes, in this place of worship, to offer our appreciation and gratitude, to offer our recommitment to live into all of your ways of love and compassion. Help us to become more through adversity. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm really happy today to have Derek Clark here to read our scripture. Thank you so much, Derek, for coming.
So thank you, and good morning, everyone. Our reading today, taken from the book of Hebrews, written around 95 AD. This passage is encouraging us all to have faith through adversity. Today, verses 1 to 3 and 8 to 16 from Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from the things not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered himself faithful, who he had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars in heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, God has prepared a city for them.
Here is the story of a man whose faith helped him to face adversity. A man was lost in sea and found on an island 20 years later. The sailors that found him on this deserted island are surprised to see three rather large buildings on the island. They asked the man why he built the buildings. And the man explained, "Well, the first building is my house," he says, "and I was able to set up a crude aqueduct to create some form of indoor plumbing for myself." The sailors are impressed and ask about the second building. "Well," he explained, "the second building is my church," he says. "I am a Christian and my faith is very important to me, so I needed to have a church." The sailors nod in understanding. And they ask, "Well, what about the third building?" "Oh, that one," the man says, "that's the church I used to go to." In these strange and unsettled times, we have been reflecting for several weeks on the theme of spiritual resilience, how we can find the inner strength we need to cope with the changes and challenges of our lives. Each week, we have explained ways to nurture our souls and deepen our spiritual resilience through music, through creation, through the sacraments, through inspirational mentors, through the comfort and love of our pets, through prayer and meditation, through the gifts of silence. And today we're going to examine the heart of spiritual resilience, what it is that keeps us keeping on. For at the inner core of spiritual resilience lies our faith in God, faith in the unfolding of life itself. For most of us living in these times, this sudden thrust into a pandemic has challenged us. We have felt isolated and separated from friends and family and our church community. We have pondered what is going to become of this world and life as we have known it. We contemplate with horror the impact of climate change on our planet, and through news videos, we literally witness every day the suffering of people on the Pacific Northwest of the United States and the tragedies of all the wildfires. We see horrible images of people who have lost their homes, children with their dogs who have lost their lives, and we feel deeply the effects of these travesties in our own smoky skies, a constant reminder of what is happening with our neighbors. And we've had to retreat once again from the outdoors into our homes to escape the smoke. As one person wrote to me after we had to cancel Wild Church last week, first we couldn't worship inside because of COVID, and now we can't worship outside because of smoke. How true. And as if all that wasn't enough, we also are witnessing the suffering of those on the East Coast who are battered by hurricanes and strong winds. And every day in the news, we witness what Wade Davis, the anthropologist and professor at UBC, who holds the leadership chair in cultures and ecosystems at risk, calls in his article, the unraveling of America. With America in chaos and divided against itself, we then fear the ascendancy of other empires who are far more oppressive, and should they dominate the world, would threaten our human rights and freedoms as we know them. And all of this swirling around us is just at the macro level of our existence. In our own personal day-to-day lives, we deal with an assortment of challenges and complexities. Anxiety and depression, health concerns, addictions, relationship breakdowns, griefs, and the restrictive impact that COVID has had in our ability to conduct our daily lives in the usual way. In fact, there is no usual anymore. So as people who claim to be Christian, or who seek to be followers of the way of Jesus, or people who may identify as spiritually minded or operating at a supposedly higher consciousness, where does our spiritual resilience come from? What does it mean to rely on our faith to cope with life circumstances, especially when these difficulties are overwhelming on both the macro and micro levels of our lives? We turn to our scripture today to the story of other human beings who, like us, have faced enormous challenges, who have felt like foreigners in a land of messed up values, of war and devastation, conflict, injustice, and hate. In this 11th chapter of an ancient letter of Hebrews written almost 2,000 years ago by an unknown author, we are reminded what faith really is and thereby discover what it is not. Apparently, unlike some of us have been taught in churches or Sunday school or by our own culture, faith is not about being in agreement with a particular certain set of religious beliefs or creeds or doctrines or belonging to a certain denomination or faith tradition. Faith is not about taking the Bible literally. Faith is not a matter of being in opposition to science or reason or believing in things that are unbelievable. Faith does not ask us to be blind or deny reality as it is, and figuring out how we personally get through the gates of heaven. According to this writer, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith has less to do with belief and more to do with hope in an unseen and better future than what is currently presenting itself. Faith is trusting in things that you hope for and placing our hope in things that have not yet come to pass. Better ways. Faith is trusting that the world as it is not how God dreams it to be, and that we need to step out in faith that the future that we cannot yet see, but that we can only imagine, will be better than the one we are now living. To live in faith is to live with hope. But why have hope that things are going to turn out? Because God dreams it and wills it and promises it and is actually helping us work toward manifesting that better future that we can all dream of, that we all hope for and imagine. As Hebrews said, all these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. The letter to the Hebrews reminds us that when we are aware of who we really are, as offspring of the living God, we recognize that we really don't belong to the earth. This is not our first home. The author writes, they confess that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Our scripture is clear. Life on planet Earth is highly challenging. It feels very foreign. And while here on Earth, we meet with many adversaries, that is to say, many things oppose us. Today we can see with a click on our electronic device all the tragedies and sufferings and injustices happening in the world in 2020. And we can become overwhelmed with the challenge that is before us. And we wonder, how on earth are we ever going to overcome these systemic injustices and climate disasters? But the roll call of faith, as Hebrews 11, the chapter in its entirety, is often called, reminds us that our spiritual ancestors also faced incredible challenges in their lives, and yet stepped into situations with impossible odds, and still they stepped into those challenges with faith, and they transcended them. The story of Abraham leaving his homeland and striking off into a new life in an unknown land reminds us of all the immigrants and refugees who are now stepping out in faith in hope for a better life. The story of Abraham striking off to create a new home reminds us of all the moves we have ever made in our own lives in hopes of something better. The story of Abraham and Sarah and their struggle with infertility reminds us that even when our lives feel barren, we are always pregnant with new possibilities, even in our old age, that our dreams can come into fulfillment. Maybe not in the way we first imagined them, but that new life always comes after bitter disappointments. If we were to have Derek read the entire chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, written 70 years after Christ, we would have heard listed so many others who stepped into their lives with faith and went up against a variety of adversities. Rahab the prostitute, risking her life and rescuing people from certain death. David against Goliath. Noah against the floods. Moses against oppression. Daniel against the lions. Ordinary people withstanding torture, fires, and calamities, and all manner of devastation. And still they hope for something better, something more, because they know that God wants more for them. God wants more for us. The Creator of all wants life and freedom for us, a full life. As Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Trusting that God wants the very best for us and is helping all of us to try to create that better future is the crux of faith. This writing assures us once again that the adversities that we are currently operating are not the result of God, but the result of we human beings through the ages. And God wants for us something far better than what we have presently created. For God, as Hebrews says, has prepared a city for them. And so, like all of these people who went before us, who met adversity with their faith in something better, we too are invited not to deny the adversities that befall us, not to shrink from them, not to sink into despair because of them, but to roll up our sleeves and embrace them as something that will help us to become better and stronger and wiser and more compassionate and more loving and more whole and more complete than we were before. We are to step out in faith, trusting that we too shall overcome. So whatever you are going through currently in your own life, have faith that you will endure. And even if you don't live a better life tomorrow or the next day, eventually we will all arrive home, as T.S. Eliot wrote, where we first began, in the Promised Land, because the Promised Land is a celestial heavenly one. So let us have faith like our ancestors did, like Jesus did on the cross, that right now the world might be getting a whole lot worse before it gets better. But we need to step into the challenge, to embrace it, to make the most of our lives, and to grow and become better humans by doing so. I'd like to share with you the story of a 14-year-old girl from Romania that Bev Harrison sent me a few weeks ago. Her story reminds us that if this young girl, born without arms and abandoned by her parents, can step into her adversity and become all that she can be and become this beautiful, shining soul to light up the world, so can each of us be. Let me introduce you to Lorelei.
Cât ani ai, Lorelai?
14 ani.
Bun, Lorelai, ce ne-ai pregătit?
Voi cânta în această seară vocal și la pian.
Vocal și la pian?
Da.
Cum vă cânta la pian?
Hai să vedem. La pian cu... Cum vei cânta la pian? Iartă-mă că...
Cu degetele de la picioare.
Incredibil, incredibil. Părinții tăi sunt aici?
Mami Vio, da.
Mami Vio?
Da.
Din atunci. Cred că are și ea emoții.
Da,
și noi suntem... Mami,
stai puțin. Că ce... E foarte rar să-i spui unei mame și numele, prenumele. De ce îi spui Mami Vio și doar, nu doar Mami?
Pentru că am fost abandonată de la naștere și am luat în plasament de la 2 luni.
E se aici, în sală?
E aici.
E în culise.
Vrem să, vrem să o aplaudăm. Vrem să...
Da,
vrem
da. Vino mamilor,
înainte de toate.
Abia aștept să te ascult. Succes!
interesată și cred că merită să fie acolo.
To embrace her adversity, then so can we. May it be so. Amen. Let us sing together. Bless now, O God, the journey. I invite Derek to come and ring the singing bowl to invite us to center and call us to prayer. Sacred source of all life. We ask for your presence in our lives as we go through the difficult times, the challenging journeys, as we go through these unsettling times. We pray for your nearness. Give us the strength and the hope we need to do what we need to do to make a better world. Each day, help us to be better than the last. Help us in these difficult times, O God, not to be afraid. We pray this day for people around the world who are in deep suffering. We pray for the people of Greece, refugees who have lost home after home and a safe place, shelter. We pray that we might be full of compassion, that we might work for a world where no one is homeless, where everyone has a place to call their safe place. We pray this day for the people of Beirut as they rebuild their city. We pray that you would help turn their anger into creativity and energy to restore their lives. We pray this day for the people, for our neighbors to the south, for all the fires. We pray for all those battered by hurricane and floods, for all those overwhelmed by natural disasters and the destruction of their homes and their loss and their grief. We pray for healing. Oh God, there is so much happening in the world right now, and we know that you care. Help us to rebuild our world to a more sustainable, compassionate place. Help us not to be afraid.
Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear.
God of all life, we pray this day for the teachers and children and parents, the families who have returned to school, parents who have returned to work, we pray for safety, for protection. Be with us as we reopen Knox. Help us to be wise and discerning. Help us to think not only of ourselves, but of others. Protection as we meet together. Oh God, help us not to be afraid. Now in the deep silence of things, we bring before you our own hopes and dreams, lay before you our fears and concerns and our deepest desires. Oh God, you have promised to be always near. We trust that even as we have cried out in need of you, that you have sent help already, that help is already upon its way. Grant us the faith that was given Abraham and Sarah, the faith that was given Moses and Noah, the faith that was given all of our ancestors and will be given to us this day. as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught all those who would choose to follow after him in faith. Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As God was with the Hebrew people so long ago, God is leading us. Let us sing together, "Lead on, O cloud of presence." Let us go forth from this place, from your homes, even in the midst of smoke, trusting that the God of hope, of faith, goes with us. And as you go to face whatever challenges life brings to you, may the God of hope guide you. And may the Christ, in all of his gentleness, enfold you. And may the Holy Spirit fill you and give you strength and courage and energy for the living of this day and every day. Amen.